From theunce.com, this is The Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to The Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. For those of you who are products of the 90s, there are hardly any bigger acts out there in the rock and metal worlds than Korn. Since their influential records of the mid-90s clear through today, Korn has attained longevity through their drive to take risks. Korn's frontman, Jonathan Davis, in a recent Rolling Stone article said plainly, quote, "The rock world has been so fucking lame lately," end quote. Already intrigued by the new sounds of bass music, Davis decided to reach out to some of the biggest dubstep producers on the scene today to see if they'd be interested in a little experiment. The result is The Path of Totality, out today on Roadrunner Records. This behemoth of an album, which Revolver has already named Album of the Year, is a hybrid of Korn's already bass-heavy metal with the explosive productions of dubstep megastars Excision, Datsik, Downlink, 12th Planet, Kill the Noise, and more. To celebrate the album's release, Korn is performing a unique show at Hollywood's Palladium tonight, featuring Datsik, Downlink, 12th Planet, and Drugs DOD. My guest today is Jonathan Davis, to get you prepared for both the show and the brand new album. Today's show is brought to you by Moody Music, one of the most progressive labels on the scene today. One of their newest releases is Acid Crunk Volume 4 from the Bay Area's Antenna. These are his compilations of the best in glitch hop and future bass from around the country and the world. Before we get to Korn, let's take a listen to Antenna's collaboration with DJ Laura, better known as Night Riders. This is Riders of the Storm. Riders of the Storm from Night Riders. That's the Antenna and DJ Laura collaboration. Catch that on Acid Crunk Volume 4 from Antenna and Moody Music. Let's get to the interview with Jonathan Davis of Korn.
For a lot of electronic music fans, the assumption is, oh, Korn is making a dubstep album. And that's an oversimplification, and you have a clear concept of what The Path of Totality is and where it comes from. But if you'll allow us to build up to that, and the fans of this show will just hold their horses, I think it's important that we approach this highly charged subject from a personal and creative standpoint. Now, you've been entrenched in the metal and hard rock scene for more than 15 years with Korn, but it appears as though you've been fully aware of the growth and the trends in the electronic music scene, certainly in the past few years, if not for even longer than that.
Yeah, it's been since, I've been in electronic music since I was 16. I used to DJ in high school and do high school dance. I got really into the electro-hop movement with like Egyptian Lover, Aeon Nightfish, Kraftwerk, all that stuff back in the day. You know, Planet Rat, Afrika Mumbata. That really what sucked me in, and I've been a fan ever since. Been a huge electro fan. I've been out DJing for the last 3 years. So I've been really up to date with what's been going on in electronic music. And first off, I want to say I didn't want to make a dubstep album per se. It was just bass music.
Mm-hmm.
To me, dubstep is just relative to the BPM. There's dubstep, drumstep, fucking drum and bass. It all has to do with the bass.
Exactly.
You know, I think Korn, we were doing, that was what we were trying to do back in 94. Like, we had 7-string guitars, everything was down-tuned to A, as low as we could go. We used to take out 120 subs in our arena shows, 60 subs aside, and just make people puke.
the brown noise, almost.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities with what we do and what we were trying to do with what's going on in the bass music scene. I sat with Downlink and Dotsick. I'll check out this song that came out in 98, and it was It's On, and it's got wobble bass on it. As you before that's even started, we might use some pedals, and we used everything we possibly could without using electronic synthesis, you know, going in writing patches and masses and doing stuff like that. But I was just a real lover of the music, and I took it to Monkey and Philby and Ray and said, I played them the music first, and the jaws just hit the ground. And I was really interested in trying to, like, combine this kind of vibe with what we do. And everybody was like, let's go for it.
And it just makes sense. I had this conversation with Tommy Lee of Motley Crue, who, as you may know, has his big electro project on Mousetrap and works closely with Deadmau5. He has a similar story to you in that he was perceived as being, you know, this figure in hair metal and heavy metal, but it was really, you know, the electronic music that was getting him off. And we talked about how dubstep is really the next logical extension of metal, and that it's loud, it's aggressive, it's intense. But it's funny that it grew out of somewhat of the dance culture, and its early adopters were certainly not your typical metal fans.
No, it was screaming, those people, and that was more dub influence, it was more reggae. And I think the one that really fucking invented heavy dubstep was Excision North America. This Excision and Dotsick and Downlink started making their basses all fucking huge and distorted, and it was really evil and just intense. And then Skrillex knocked it out of the park because it was all different kinds of subgenres.
Sure.
And electro, everything else. So it was just natural for us to like that, I guess.
There it is, the Low Frequency Oscillators on Korn's It's On from their 1998 album Follow the Leader. Non-metal fans, you're going to get a history lesson today. This monumental track is Wicked from Korn's 96 release, Life is Peachy.
I'm a wicked, I'm somebody I think you're my neighbor. When there was like a gun. Not be hell, I'll be just having chin. Never seen what the heavy grin. Go on, fly round, cause I'm down, so take a look around. All you see is big black boots. Step and use my steel toe as a weapon. Yeah, they both been crying, they want to label this nigga on you with the stick. But that's nasty, cause I got a body count like I see. From in New York, I get them skins. And ain't talking about pork, you sly, you pig, dig. Listen from the flow from a soul froze Caucasian, you pick it. I was spooky as Wilson Pickett, but you're
talking. It's kind of hard to pinpoint the birth of any artistic movement, especially when it comes to music. But when Chino from the Deftones laid down Ice Cube's Wicked on your 96 relief Life is Peachy, and you had done some rapping on your self-titled debut, as well as there was some on the Deftones' Adrenaline, but it was certainly that track that ushered in this new era of rap metal or new metal, whatever you want to call it, that was quickly emulated by your Limp Bizkits or your Linkin Parks or whomever. Do you feel like now you're at this new crossroads in the history of contemporary music with this metal and dubstep and bass music hybrid?
Yeah, I do. I think we've fucking done it twice. I think we changed. We created one genre, and now we created another, because everyone I played a record for, even if all the producers want to say dubstep, this is something completely different. This is a hybrid. It's a subgenre, and I hope, you know, it takes off and people catch on. But it's been getting rave reviews, and people are really digging it. That, you know, metal fans like electronic music are just starting to dig dubstep, and then dubstep fans have never. A lot of dubstep fans know Korn is, but they're like freaking out that we did this with these guys.
Sure, sure. Some of the biggest guys
starting to cross over.
Absolutely, and it seems like you're in control of your image and have been since you hit it big. Never afraid to take risks. I mean, you appeared on South Park early on, and even on Monk, for God's sakes, which made me do a double take when I saw that episode. But it was really funny stuff. Do you feel like you're taking a big risk here of potentially alienating your huge and extremely loyal fan base? I mean, do you think about Path of Totality as a risk, or like, this is what inspires us creatively, and we hope you can join us for the ride? Obviously, dubstep fans and bass music fans are easy to jump on this, but how do you feel about your fans that have been with you since the beginning and feel that, you know, this is a big leap for you?
I think basically you can't make everybody happy.
Mm-hmm.
Korn has always been about taking risks. We've always about been pushing boundaries, and we got a great fan base, and a lot of the people roll with what we do. Some people don't like it, but they like the other older albums. But comes down to it, we play everything in our shows. We don't pull our stuff. We remember where we came from. This is an album that artistically we were just so happy with, and we pushed ourselves, and we're artists. We don't want to do the same thing over and over again. So There might be a little backlash, but we want to make art. We want to do something different. This ain't about money. This ain't about trying to make the same album over and over again. It's about making us happy and hoping that these fans will come along for the ride with us.
Let's move on to Korn collaborator Skrillex. This is I'm Breaking a Sweat, which he produced with Robbie Krieger and Ray Manzarek of The Doors for the Regeneration Music Project.
Let's kick ass.
Log on tomorrow, that's Wednesday, December 7th at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, to youtube.com/user/HyundaiUSA for a preview of the Regeneration Music Project documentary, along with a live Q&A with its featured artists, Skrillex, The Crystal Method, Erykah Badu, and director Amir Barlev. You'll also be able to see the new video for that Skrillex track he produced with The Doors. Okay, let's check back in with our sponsor, Moody Music. This is Ill Gates and Opio from the Ill Methodology.
Take a step back for a second. Tell me about your relationship with Ross Robinson. He's been a major behind-the-scenes figure for two decades, as long as you've been, and he's responsible for these iconic records like At the Drive-In's Relationship of Command, two stunning Glassjaw albums, not to mention your first two major releases, the eponymous debut and the aforementioned Life is Peachy, as well as your ninth and previous studio release. What does it mean to you to be back working with Robinson? What has he done for you creatively? Or is it that he lets you do your thing and doesn't try and steer you in any direction?
You know, it was great working with Ross the first two records. This third record was really hell on me because he was really hard on me, bringing up a lot of old stuff that I just put away, wanting to get these crazy performances out of me, and I felt a little forced. But I love Ross, and he's a great producer. But that, like Corn 3, I love it. It's a great album. It was an experiment, and we wanted to know what it was like to work with Ross again. But the guy is a very talented producer, very weird to work with, but we kind of dig it.
And you've continued to stick with Roadrunner, who has more or less cornered the heavier part of the rock market. Since the early to mid-80s, we've seen this boutique label grow and flourish into a behemoth that's home to some of the biggest acts out right now. Is there a secret to the success they've enjoyed during this, you know, this period of flux in the music industry with, you know, file sharing and internet, this and that? What do you see as the reason they've been able to weather this storm and really continue to bring progressive acts like yourself, like your label mates, to the forefront and be successful?
I think they're just a great label, man. They're one of the last labels left. They really care about music, and they don't care about, like, trying to steer you one way or another. Their office is amazing. They all sit in one big room, and they all talk about the projects they're working on. It's all in-house, and the experience has been nothing but amazing. You know, I remember the good old days when we had, like, people from the label at our show, at every show, and pretty much at Roadrunner, they got, like, people there from, you know, at every show, and it feels like an old-school label, and they really do care.
Narcissistic Cannibal, the single from Korn's The Path of Totality, out today on Roadrunner Records. That track, of course, produced with Skrillex and Kill the Noise. Here's another Korn collaborator, 12th Planet, with his new single, Corner Pocket, from his Who Are We EP. 12th Planet is performing tonight with Daszak, Downlink, and of course, Korn at the Hollywood Palladium.
Talk briefly about the creative process behind this album. You've been working with Monkey and Fieldy for years now, so what does it do to your studio dynamic and working relationship to bring this outside producer or DJ into the mix and say, okay, what do you got?
Well, it's fun, man. We've been writing records for fucking almost 19 years. It's fun to mix it up. It's fun to work out of the box and not hold yourself in a certain way. It was really exhilarating, and we had a blast doing it. Monkey came up with some amazing guitar parts and really layering it and keeping it Korn along with the bass music elements. And Fieldy did great because with his bass, it's so big. We had to roll off some of the low end and he did some percussive stuff, and he played on every song, but it was a little step back from him because he's used to being filling up that whole space. Mm-hmm. So he was like, I don't care. Whatever is best for the record, let's do it. So he'd come in and he'd play parts. And you leave parts for me to edit into the parts we had and make it a full song.
Then taking that studio aesthetic and working relationship to the stage has got to be an undertaking that's kind of new for you, as it will be for this big show at the Palladium. I know you've performed Get Up and Narcissistic Cannibal live with Skrillex, but when you bring Daszak or 12th Planet on stage with you, how does that dynamic of this band that's been together for almost 20 years adjust and adapt to what is essentially a brand new member for the next 4 to 5 minutes or however long the track is?
You know, we're going to do our thing and have them add flavor, but, you know, we basically play all the songs live. The only things that are on tape are the percussive stuff and all the bass wobbles, because those are more tempo relative, and it's really hard to do that live. But like at Ray, he plays all the drums live. He's got, for the 5 songs we played the last show, he had over 30 different drum sets that are all automated, so he could be playing a verse and the samples are in the verse are there, and then it automatically clicks to the chorus samples. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge undertaking, but we wanted to do this thing live as much as possible to get a different experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And so for this big Palladium show, when you are bringing in all these different genres and producers and DJs, is that a statement for you as from where this album's coming from, or is it almost a statement for your fans, like, this is the future, and, you know, we're going to ride this and we're going to see where this bass music trend takes us?
You know, I think it's just, we wanted to get a bunch of amazing incredibly talented people together and put on a show no one will ever forget. That's basically what we want to do. And the fans have got to respect these guys are amazing what they do and the art that we created with Perfect Totality. So if they're, you know, necessary electronic fans, hopefully they'll leave there being electronic fans.
Absolutely. And you've won some fans out of electronic music fans already. We're looking forward to the album's release and this unique show. Jonathan Davis, frontman for Korn, thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Oh, thank you, man. Thanks for having an open mind and letting us come in your world.
I can't wait to wet my eyes now and look at you. Peace through pain is precious, especially when it's done by you.
Get Up from Korn with Skrillex. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Special thanks go to Mark Phillips, Andy Ross Robinson, and Roadrunner Records, and of course my guest, Jonathan Davis. The Path of Totality is out now on Roadrunner. Korn is performing tonight at the Hollywood Palladium with Downlink, Datsik, 12th Planet, and others. Should be an amazing and unique experience. And then this Friday, Korn is streaming the entire album from their website. More information at korn.com. That's KORN.com. Remember, today's show is brought to you by Muti Music. Visit them online at mutimusic.com, MUTIMusic.com, to pick up the Ill Methodology from Ill Gates and Antenna's Acid Crunk Volume 4. Vote for theUNS.com for this year's International Dance Music Awards. To find the Winter Music Conference ballot and to check out our new Fresh Beats section, just visit theUNS.com and it's all right there on the front page. Win tickets to theUNS.com's second anniversary show at Temple in San Francisco on Friday, December 16th, featuring Nit Grit, DNA Beats, Freddie Todd, Gold Rush, and more by visiting theUNS.com/contests. We're also giving you a chance to win tickets for the inaugural Snow Globe Festival and Lights All Night to do your New Year's right. Please visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theUNS.com. Join the conversation at the UNS podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.